Welcome back to Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Carly Basham. Thank you all so much again for tuning in this Sunday. I hope you all are having a phenomenal Sunday, doing a good reset. We have so many exciting things coming today and an incredibly exciting guest joining us today. But before we get into that, I just wanted to say thank you so much to my team, my circle, and most importantly, you guys. Thank you all so much for just embodying what Simply You is all about. And I'm so excited to continue this journey. And without further ado, welcome. We have such an incredible guest with us, Ron Portis. Ron, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Carly.
For those of you all who do know Ron, for those of you all who don't, you may know him as the man, the myth, the legend. He is a 23 state championship holder at Assumption High School. He is the director for Kiva Volleyball. He holds 6 national championships. He has coached over 1,100 matches. He was the National High School Co-Coach of the Year by ABC. I'm just going to say that. He was the National High School Co-Coach of the Year by ABCA. He was inducted into the Kentucky High School Hall of Fame in 2018. And he was recently inducted into the ABCA Hall of Fame in 2021. But most importantly, he is a proud grandpa of Mary and Rose as well. So, Ron, thank you. I love that. Ron, thank you so much. You are incredible, and I'm so honored just to have you here today.
Well, as I said, it's a pleasure, and it's looking forward to it.
Oh, thanks. Oh, guys, Ron and I go way back. The first time that him and I started, I actually played for him my 14th year, and I came on his team as a setter, actually. And fun fact, it was kind of towards the few months into our season, and Ron had pulled me aside during one of our practices. And I don't know if you remember this, but you were like,
yeah.
Carly, you were like, you're not a bad setter at all, but you were like, if you really want to go far in volleyball, which I know you can, I think it's best for you to pivot to being a libero. And so then we had that conversation because I was like, I don't know, Ron, that person. So then we kind of talked about it, but I think that that was one of the first moments, Ron, that I knew that you aren't just a coach, that you were truly investing in myself, that you truly invest in your players as people too. And that was really one of the just first moments that I just remember just how crucial that you are going to be, not only to my life, but just to so many people's lives around you too. And that's what I just can't wait to kind of get into today, but you're just incredible all the way around.
Thank you. Thank you. I do remember that conversation, and I've had several like it. Mm-hmm. You know, Alec Gregory would be one that did end up in Florida as a libero. But I mean, I think that's what you're always trying to do is look ahead. What's going to be best for them 3, 4, 5 years down the road? And, you know, rather than just coaching and trying to, you know, say, I'm sure it would have been great with you as a setter, but, you know, it's one of those things that worked out best for you the other way.
Yeah. Agreed. And I just appreciate it. And I just think that it's so special how you not only can focus on, yes, competing and winning at that time, but you also know what's best for us for our future too. And just like, I feel like your ability to be able just to look ahead, but also kind of keep one foot in the present and one foot in the future, like that's seriously like a gift. It's a skill.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you try to do. And not always, never going to be 100% right.
Right.
But through experience, you start to learn that, yeah, that was probably the right decision. And sometimes it's not going to work there. But yeah, in your case, it worked out. Right?
Oh, thankfully. Yeah. Thankfully. But Ron, we'd love to kind of get into your legacy, especially just regarding coaching and especially just the creation of Kiva. You know, we have mentioned you're the director at Kiva. So could you just maybe share the moment that really solidified your passion for coaching? You know, like, where did that truly begin?
You know, I didn't realize I had a passion for coaching until I got into coaching. And so I'd worked other jobs, I had other, you know, careers or professions. And it just, when I started coaching at a elementary level, you know, I found during the day, so much of my thought process would switch back to what are we gonna do at practice, right? What are we gonna do, that kind of thing, right? And then when I went to Assumption, it either got worse or better, but I don't want to look at it.
Heightened the same.
Yeah, because I think passion is a two-way street.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm thankful I have one and what it is, but I think passion is somewhere a little bit, you could look at the alternative side as so much an addiction.
Yeah, I can.
Because that's when I really realized, I think, when, as I just mentioned, I'd be out on a work day thinking from one call to another, I'm thinking about volleyball, not thinking about where am I going here next and what I'm going to do. So, you know, and then I just was lucky enough to have things happen in the way that allowed me to pursue that passion.
That's really, I think, interesting how you said that passion can kind of be that two-way street where, yes, it can be good for you, but it can also be more of an addiction too, because I've never really thought of it that way, but as soon as you said it, really honestly made so much sense. Because I mean, like, it can really take away time away from what you're doing, because again, you can't escape your passion in that sense.
Right. I know that's one area we're going to talk about. You know, it can take thoughts away or time away from your family, and
right.
I mean, it's just because it absorbs you.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sure people who you know, for cigarettes, probably one of the first things they're thinking about when they get out of bed in the morning is getting a cigarette,
yeah.
Or maybe it's the last thing you do before. You know, you get up in the morning and you think, okay, you know, what, how's volleyball going to work out?
Mm-hmm.
What do I need to do? Plan a practice or get ready to travel, whatever it is, you know. But all that passion is very strong.
Very strong, very strong. And it can literally take over your life in, yes, great ways, but it can also kind of hinder it too, at least, too, which I think is not talked about.
Right.
That's so interesting. Ron, how did you actually come up with the idea of Kiva? Because I feel like, where did that come from? You know, like, did you just wake up one day and just had an idea just to create one of the greatest and most competitive, successful clubs? Or,
yeah.
You know, like, how did that start?
I wish I was that good. you know, I've been working with Bob Blanford. Is his name. He really basically, I get the credit for it, but he and his wife Wanda really started junior volleyball in Louisville. And actually they started, they lived in Shively. They started out as Shively Volleyball Club, and next thing you know, they're kids from the East End. So next thing you know, I got the Kentucky Inn and Junior Volleyball Association, KJBA. So I coached for them for a number of years. I was lucky enough to run into a fellow named Jesse Flynn, who was a contractor here in town, and he made it possible to build Ohio Valley Volleyball Center, which is done.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so KJVA worked out of there and it rented it for practices and such. And this got to a point where that affected the business, the building, and everything else I had. Like, this kind of felt as probably something I needed to get control of, and so I could make the decisions of, you know, because again, they were so closely tied.
Right.
And that's, it was in the year 2000, I decided that I had to, you know, start Kiva. And where it was going to go at the time, I was very fortunate, you know, because I was determined I would not compete with KJBA.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'd do this on our own. And this so happened that Bob elected to step back, and he got Bob and AAU volleyball very deeply, and so things just kind of flipped over under a different name. And you know, and I think part of that was at the time when I first, in the first year I coached with KJBA, there were three teams. It was a 13 and 15, so three teams now. I'm talking about three clubs.
Right, three teams. That's total.
In total.
That's crazy to think about. Just like how it started, three.
We won a bronze medal in Chicago at AAUs, and all of a sudden, it was like somebody lifted the cover off this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the next year, there's another club, and here we go into what we have going today. I mean, the demand is so great that, I mean, recession, pandemics, whatever.
Right.
This thing rolls right through. You have a hurricane. Praying a building a tornado and people still want to come in.
It's
crazy. Yeah, but it's such a great sport for the girls and the boys. are really, you know, they just
yeah, it's so awesome.
To high school for boys, 100%. So it's going to take off. And probably never the extent of the girls on because the boys have more, options.
Right.
It's great. We've started boys this year for the first time.
Yeah, and I think that's so exciting to see, just because I feel like the fact that it started with three teams and now you have from 10s to 18s, and you have probably like six different teams amongst all different age groups, and they're all filled. And like, we're still having to cut people, you know, just because the demand is so high. And I feel like it's crazy how many girls and parents and people have just bought into Kiva too
along the way. It's amazing.
It's awesome.
But,
it's awesome. And I think it's
like to say I saw that all happening, but I'd be lying to you. I just happened to be, again, right place, right time.
Right.
Involved in a good thing that just, you know, I think the onslaught of facilities helped out before. We were sort of in high school gyms and had to do what was available, and now courts are available. They're available 12 months of the year. People can get in that. So I think a lot of things played into it. So.
Yeah. And I feel like just having that full time accessibility to those courts too. And not only to those courts, but just to the high level training that I feel like Pete is able to offer too. I feel like that's what keeps the demand so high for generations at a time. That's why you have the players that you used to coach. That's why, you were starting to get their kids and their grandchildren and stuff like that, just because I feel like the longevity at Kiva comes from the high level training and comes from the accessibility of the courts too. But you can't beat that.
No, it's, and I think that's one of the great things about this thing is that we look at our coaching staff now, so many of them, they were former Kiva players, went on to college and played, like yourself, the lady sitting over there.
Hey, Mira.
and to see them back, Melissa and Courtney, all of it. So, and now, on another generation, the club team this year has two former players and their daughters are on there. So
that's got to be a full circle.
It is. I'm just constantly reminded how I know that in old age. But you never let us do that.
So, I'm sure that's a constant thing you hear. You're like, oh, Ron, you've really taken your foot off the gas here.
Yeah.
You're going soft. I'm sure you hear that yet. Uh-huh, I'm sure. That's awesome, though. As far as just your experience, I know that you started to kind of touch on that a little bit, just with managing coaching at such a high level by also raising a family. I kind of touched on how you have two amazing grandchildren. Could you just talk a little bit just how you were able to manage coaching while also raising that family?
This may turn into a true confession podcast here. So
hey, it's a safe space.
We're going to take you, I'm not sure.
It's a safe space here. Yeah, no judgment.
I mean, having that passion, my ex-wife, Belinda, and was a great mother, great wife, great person. It became a wedge in our marriage. Mm-hmm. I don't think it was the only thing, but certainly the time away and things like that didn't help.
Right.
And looking back on it, we're great friends today, and our kids are all, we're great. Mm-hmm. We belong to, great family and the whole thing, but who knows what would have been. I don't know. I couldn't really fully say that, what I'm following that passion didn't leave a few scars or dents behind.
100%.
It certainly does. And vacations, most of our vacation was built around a volleyball trip or something, And so, I think that's the thing today when, my daughter Ann is involved coaching with two kids, Courtney Robinson or Dixon, who has two and waiting any minute to have a third. But I've talked to both of them in the sense that, you need to be really careful not letting this thing family, take care of your family first, and then do what you can do, because they have a passion for what we're doing as well. Just trying to balance it better than I did myself. And that's will always be my advice to the people that might not have such a passion. I can't wait. I love this. I don't have a job. I never look at what I do as a job, and I don't.
It does take a risk. Right, exactly. Thank you for sharing that too. And I do think that there is such a fine line of whenever you are chasing after your passion, like not even knowing when necessary to like bring it back, but more so I think just trying to be self-aware of like all that you truly are sacrificing, because I feel like it's so hard to realize that in the moment, just because you can get so tunnel visioned almost as far as like the feeling, you know, like you mentioned how it can almost be like an addiction almost, you know. And I feel like especially like once you really start to see your passion and see your vision kind of take off, it's hard to stop almost, you know. And I just can completely see that. And I think too, you know, being like having the level of success that you have had throughout your life, and I feel like having the legacy, having the influence that you had throughout your life too, I think that with that, it's going to come sacrifice, you know. And I'm not saying that there is like a wrong or right way of what to sacrifice, but I do think that with all great success like you have had, it does take away some of that sacrifice that I feel like you wish that you had back and everything, which can be that like the hard part about it, that I feel like people see the success and they, you know, see, you know, that you are in the Hall of Fame and this and that, but I feel like they don't see sometimes what all that you truly had to sacrifice to be able to get there. And that's sometimes the hardest part about it. 100%.
Yep. Collateral damage.
There it is. There it is. But I also think that with that, you're doing such a good job just being kind of that mentor to Courtney, just to be able to show them that there can be a balance with that too, you know. But I feel like you have lived a life where maybe there was like an 80-20 rather than more like a 60-40, 50-50 kind of deal. And I feel like since you have lived through that, now you have the opportunity to kind of pass down the wisdom to be like, hey, it doesn't need to be like that.
Yeah, and that's in any career, anything you do. But on the other hand, I see so many people going through life that don't have a passion for something. And I think, wow, I'm so fortunate to have something.
Exactly.
And I think people who are able to get up every morning and not dread, at my age, and I'm still doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean,
it's incredible.
Most jobs I've been retired 15 years ago, okay? But I'm still doing it, probably will do it until they haul me out, you know? So, at that part, I would wish everyone would be able to experience that in their life, because it is great. Because early on, I did jobs, and they were jobs.
Yeah,
they weren't a career. They were jobs, you know, to pay bills, and everybody has to do that. And hopefully, you get lucky enough to find something that. I think when you get that passion for something, then it's hard not to be good at it.
Exactly.
Because again, the amount of thought one of my big things, I get laughed at every now and then, I'm still looking at other coaches' videos or stuff on the internet, or I'll go to a clinic or whatever, because I think no matter what you do, you can always keep learning.
100%.
There's new ways to do things. As long as that fire keeps burning in me, I guess I think I'll probably keep trying.
I love that, Ron. That nervous giving chokes. I love that so much. And that's what, too, I just wanted to kind of touch base on, too, because I feel like, yes, like having that passion can sometimes make you sacrifice things that aren't always easy and sometimes can be hard. Right. But on the other side of that, I feel like, just like you said, passion is kind of like a double-sided coin. You know, it's like there's always a two-way street to it. And I feel like being able to just live a life where you genuinely have a passion, where you wake up every single day and feel like you truly know your purpose, you truly know what makes you go, and like you know your why, you know, and it's something that's almost bigger than you, because you're, because you know that deep down you're able to not only, you know, help yourself, but just create so many more opportunities for so many people. And I feel like once you get to that point, just being able to like master your craft, like that is such a essential part to having a passion. I feel like that's whenever I feel like you really can get into your zone, is just once you really feel that passion and start to see it pay off to others. I feel like that's whenever you just want to try to learn and master it to be the best person that you can be throughout that craft too. That's awesome.
Kind of got off on it.
Yeah, we did, but I liked it though. I love getting on topic, right?
They changed the topic.
I know, and I was like, can y'all please hurry? So I know that we kind of touched on trying to find that balance. So what advice would you have for people trying to balance high pressure careers with also their personal well-being?
Well, I think, yeah, you know, as I said, I was the best at it. But looking back, I think you have, just have to have the self-discipline to be able to say, okay, this is too much time away from my family. We haven't done this. We need to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just almost to the point, maybe you're doing a checklist of because, you know, there's so many things involved so many times, you know, a relationship, a marriage or whatever kind of relationship. And then you got family, got kids involved, and then you know, there's so many things into it, and again, that addiction or that draw can be so strong. So I think it's just to step back every now and then and take a look. And sometimes when you're starting something like you are, or I did with a lot of us, I really didn't have a lot of choice initially.
Right.
There was two of us trying to do that. So yeah. I had to be here. I had no idea it was going to be so labor intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And when it's a 7-day-a-week business, somebody's got to be there.
Right.
You don't have no people, it's you.
Exactly.
And so I think, again, from experience, I've learned a lot. If I had to do over again, I'd probably put a few more checklists in.
I like that.
And just, you know, and every now and then, just like you do in a regular job, people sit down with you to review of what's going on, how you're doing. Just, you know, if you can conduct one of those with yourself, just to say, you know, this is going great, but boy, I've really neglected this. And I think the only way it works out to be the ideal situation is if you can find that balance, I think.
Yeah, I definitely think that balance is the key. And I feel like doing the checklist is such a good idea. And it's actually funny that you say that, because, I mean, you know, I have so many things going on between the podcast, the lessons and training, sales, relationship, just like you said, passion and everything like that. And that's something that I have been trying to work on this past month, actually. I literally started to create a checklist for sales, for my podcast, for my relationships, just to make sure that at least like once a month that I like make time for those people that I know that I want to have in my life too. Because I mean, like, I even felt it too. Like, I have gone weeks where I knew that I did not, you know, reach out to, you know, like my parents or like my best friends and stuff like that. And then I would look back and then I'd be like, oh my gosh, like I was just, you know, like working, I was grinding, I was hustling, but then like to a point, like that can't just be an excuse anymore. You know, like there's gotta be at least some type of time where, you know, you can take a step back and be like, I can squeeze in, you know, like a dinner or something like that, or like a phone call. You know, that's at least what I'm trying to focus on too. So I love that checklist. I mean, I'm gonna keep trying to implement that, to say the least. Here's one. When you look at generations, so I mean, we know that you have coached and mentored so many incredible women along the road here. Whenever you look back at the generations of players that you've coached, what would you say makes you the proudest?
Just to see the product that comes out of it. I think the things that we offer, other than winning a medal here and there or whatever, is the fact that you guys going through this process have learned self-discipline. You learned how to manage your time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not maybe not to the point you want to and still want to work on it, but you have, or you wouldn't be you wouldn't have gotten through to where you are.
Right.
So I think that is, you know, and for me personally, I think one of the things I always address is that my goal when I had you at 14 and Marianne and anyone else was to hopefully make you a competitive person.
Mm-hmm.
Because this world is competitive.
100%.
You know, how many people want to do podcasts? How many people want to do volleyball clubs? How many people want to do all this? So it's a competitive world. And I think, where do you learn that? Because so much in our society today is not competitive for young people.
It's a
given. Yeah. And I think, and I keep talking to our team again this year about it, you know, you guys are going to have to get hard to compete.
Mm-hmm.
Might be for your boyfriend. It might be for an opportunity in college you want, or a job, or promotion. I mean, the world is competing, or you'd be back in line.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I think that's one of the most, you know, Kenny George was an example who kind of came into me at one point at Kiva and Assumption. I think it was even at Kiva, she told me, she said, you know, my goal is to be the next Aaron, gosh, I don't know her name.
I know who you're talking about. I can't think of her last name.
Aaron Andrews.
Yes.
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 And you know, you turn around today.
It's crazy.
Damn, this kid. You know, I'm
about to say, she get the damn thing, if not more.
She's chasing, you know. And yeah, but I mean, it's just so many doctors, lawyers, judges, and more importantly, just great people,
mm-hmm.
great parents, watching them parent their own kids, and like, wow, you know. So, you know, I look back and I think I can have just a little bit of input on that.
Yeah,
it makes me happy.
I love that. And I do think, speaking for myself, a lot of us too, I feel like if you look at the girls, the women who have came from Kiva, who have came from, especially, I feel like the Kiva community, I feel like our drive and our motivation is unlike anyone else's. And I feel like it's instilled in us at such an early age. Like, I feel like you and I, even before practices, whenever, you know, I had to go up to your office and get my heat packs on my hips every single day.
Right.
You and I had so many conversations just about, you know, like, if you're going to do something, do it. You know, like, don't ever half-ass it. If you're going to do something, make sure that you have intent. Make sure that you're trying to do it at the best of your abilities, too. And,
right. Like,
don't settle for anything less of it, you know? And I think just having that mindset from even 14 years old up until now, it just has created so much courage, I feel like, just to like go after things too. Because I feel like, honestly, like, part of being competitive is just having the urge just to go after it too. Because I feel like there are so many of us who have the ideas, who have maybe like the vision of whatever it is, but we don't have that competitive urge enough to take that next step, just to actually like act on it, you know, to act on
that. That's probably not going to happen.
Exactly. And that's why I think that, I mean, like, you use Kate and George. I mean, I feel like everything that she has wanted to do, she has just gone after and tried for. I mean, you look at all the things that she's accomplished. I mean, what, she was Miss Kentucky for USA. I mean, she...
Quick story on that. I'm sitting in the audience, Miss USA, right? She said, Ron, you're coming, right? And I said, I'll be there. I'm sitting in the audience, and that's your brother, actually. And get through the whole thing. Of course, they announce her as a winner.
You know? Crazy.
I mean, she is just beating people who have spent years
in their life, right?
Thousands of dollars on dresses and whatever else, and she's wearing an old prom dress.
I was about to say, didn't she wear an old prom dress to the?
I think she bought a bathing suit. About the only thing she bought for this thing, and they announce her as a winner, and her brother looks at me and says, "Damn, she wins everything." You know, but so much of that is, I mean, you know, how many people had the nerve to walk out on the stage like that in fashion who've never done it,
mm-hmm.
and pull it off, you know? So, but again, I think a lot of that comes from you guys, you fight to make teams, you fight to for your positions, you fight to win a match, you fight you know, you learn how to fight a little bit and go after what you want. And I don't think that's ever a bad thing. I've even had husbands that I've apologized to when they make the comment, she's so damn competitive, she's so stubborn. And I said, well, I'm sorry about your beer. I may have had a little bit of part of that. You know, I may have created some of it, not all of it.
Well, you're going to tell my husband lots of beers. Lord have mercy for my stubbornness.
And I even said to some of the girls, I said, when you find the guy, why don't you give me 10 minutes with him before,
Oh, well, that's an absolute, Because best believe, whoever my husband is, they got to get through on first.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a given. That's a given. No, but I do agree, though.
I even said that. I said, sure, you know what you're doing. Okay. So that's all.
No, but I got
that. They're all great girls.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think, too, just because I just want to kind of go back to that, just about the story about Katie George and even just how her brother said that, God, like, she's so good at everything. I feel like so many people can look at people succeeding and, you know, constantly have that quote unquote like success come into them, but it's like they don't see, or it's like they don't realize the steps that they actually had to take, you know. And I feel like I feel like that's something that is so special, just about how you all taught us to fight, because you didn't teach us to fight by blaming people, you didn't teach us to fight to make excuses, you taught us to fight to take full self-accountability, you taught us that it is not up to anyone else but yourself, you know. And I feel like that is also, especially in today's age, a lost art. I feel like so many people are just so quick to like point fingers and being like, oh, well, like, I can't do this because of this or that or like whatever. And it's like, if you actually want it, like, you are going to make it happen regardless. And I feel like that can go for sports, that can go for your career, whatever it is. And I feel like you just, that's something that I just really feel like you all installed in us, was not just fight, but to make sure that you're fighting for yourself and not putting the blame on like anyone else.
I think it's, that's certainly something people can learn that and understand. Hey, and again, something we talk about with a team every year is, hey, we've got to be accountable. You have to be accountable. Mm-hmm. As a team and as you as an individual. And so sometimes it's hard for people.
100%. That's self-accountability is hard for some things, but it's necessary. How or what do you hope your players would remember about you more as a person than as a coach, would you say, Ron?
And then I care, I think. And I do care about all individuals, always have. And you know, I've always tried to be fair. I've always tried to treat people the same. That's difficult because sometimes it's just naturally a deeper relationship is going forward.
Right.
Not that you're necessarily looking for it or whatever, but it just happens. It happens. And but that would never mean I would want to favor that person over the other, or teammate or whatever. You know, I cared about how they were able to do in the sport of volleyball, but also cared how they were going to do in this, you know, game of life. And and I think that's probably the best answer I could give.
That's a phenomenal answer. And I definitely think, just coming from one of your previous players, that is one thing I feel like I felt throughout my time. Even whenever you weren't my coach at Kiva, I always knew that you cared, you know, like I always knew it more so just by like your actions, you know, like you were always checking up. I mean, like whenever I was even going to Texas and Washington, even like, you would still be texting me and still calling me. And then even throughout my whole entire transfer process, you know, you were right by my side. And I feel like you just show up in so many ways for your players, especially in those times where I feel like we need you the most. And I feel like that shows. And
Of course.
Yeah. One last thing about your legacy. This one will be short, but kind of fun. If you could sum up your legacy in one word or sentence, what would you want it to be?
You know, I've often explained what's happened in my life as being in the right place at the right time, which no doubt, but people tend to quickly correct me, and not so much correct me, but saying that's not all of it. It's you're caring for people, that you're, you know, not just running things as a business, which you have to do
right
to a certain point, but going beyond mm-hmm. caring how your people are treated. And so I have to think that, but without a doubt, for anybody, I think there's a lot of people who say, hey, I was in the right place at the right time. I was getting involved in this thing in the lid.
Right.
Had it been the other way around, it wouldn't have mattered so much, maybe, how much I cared. Because it wasn't
because you ever did.
Right. You know, the opportunity was there. So I always think of that. How did all this happen?
Mm-hmm.
And certainly one of them would have been there when it
was, which is so cool. It's so cool. I feel like that, yes, the opportunities came up whenever they did, but more so the fact that you were just able to capitalize on them. You know, it's like, yes, you saw the opportunity, but then you maximized on it. And I feel like that's how you truly know that your life, that your legacy was truly meant for you, because you didn't just see it, but you made sure to capitalize on it completely. And I feel like that went into how you care for, you know, your people, your staff, your players. And I feel like that's why your legacy is the way that it is, just because of what you poured into it, you know. 100%. Love that. Okay, now we only have a few more, I promise.
That's all right.
Okay, now we have some personal and fun questions for you.
All right.
It was my first day.
Actually, now that you asked that.
We're talking a lot of years ago. let's go to your question.
All right, well, I like the direction that you're going with that, Ron. Okay. If you could thank one person who helped shape you into the coach and man that you are today, who would it be?
I'd start off with my parents, my father, more so. He coached in a lot of different things I was involved in. As a young, I think he was a great role model for that. He,
mm-hmm.
I'll laugh at this. He was always pretty calm with it. That part I didn't get.
I think I maybe skipped over.
But the diligence, you know, the effort, all the kinds of things. I think I was always off with him somewhere, mm-hmm. all of the time, and usually the ball related to it.
That's awesome. I love that. So Ron, Kiva has produced some of the best players in the country, but more importantly, it has shaped generations of strong women. Was that always your vision with Kiva, was to not only create strong players, but to create the type of women that you have? You know, like, you mentioned Katie George, you mentioned Allie Gregor, you know, like, you coach so many greats.
Most lately, I guess the one is getting handed a beer.
Yeah.
Names on the internet.
to say the least.
And Lexa Hendricks.
Yes.
You know, all these guys. But I mean, then I had the vision, probably so, and those people. But when I started out, it was all pretty much, vision wasn't that broad. It was more like, let's win some volleyball matches.
You know? Right.
But then when I started seeing the product that was coming out of all this, then that vision started to create for itself, and still does. I mean, mm-hmm. You can almost look at 14-year-olds and say, there's kids that you've met. This kid's gonna tear it up. One has to get it on. I mean, but you never, you know, I go back to Melissa Stark with her and under the bus here with Bean. What's Bean? Sorry, Nick. I remember having her, it's a seventh grader.
That's crazy.
In high school. And Melissa was, can you believe this? Melissa had no confidence, right?
I mean, it's crazy.
Every mistake she would make. And we just opened Ohio Valley or Kiva,
mm-hmm.
And she didn't make an error, I'm sorry. And finally I said, Melissa, every time you say you're sorry, I should put her in a corner and made her put her face in the corner, like she's standing in the corner like a child. And I said, you're going over there. So the next thing, we moved to a level, she starts, oh, I'm sad. She's older than
you. Trying to hold it back, yeah.
And I don't know if she's sorry for anything, but anything. But I mean, you know, it's the same with my daughter, Ann, sophomore high school. Dad, am I good enough to play in college? I don't know. It's not like it was today, or it is today.
Right.
And I said, you know, you go work as hard as you can, they'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
They'll let you know. So, and, you know, when you look at Ann today, you're thinking, how in the world does she not have confidence in
her? Right.
You know? Because she rolls you over with it, you know. So to say that kids can't flip that over is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And in anybody, when you see self-confidence kick in, you're seeing a different person.
100%. Like a night and day person, too. It's night and day.
Night and day.
Because it's like you're going to move different. You're going to move with a lot more assurance with yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's honestly... Kiva does such a good job at growing and instilling self-confidence. Because I feel like even throughout, like, myself, Mayor, you have, you know, like, you have Anna, you have Alexa, you know, like, I would say, whenever we all started, I feel like there was all some level of self-doubt in some way, shape, or form with us. But then, like, once you see us now, I feel like you would never even guess that. But it's such a process.
Yeah, and I'll throw in a little plug for Assumption High School here, because I've always felt, you know, when Anne was in grade school, I had to sit on her to get to do homework. She got through going through Assumption. Next thing you know, she comes out in her family with a master's degree. You know, my point is, I think they also, along with what we were doing,
yes.
Sometimes I've used it, and kidding, of course, creating a monster out here, you know.
But, no, I mean, for real, though.
Yeah, but
you're getting it from all ends at that
point.
Yeah,
right? And I think this, the combination of what was going on there, girls were coming out of Kiva, Assumption, just, and other schools, too. I'm not just, you know.
No, of course,
just, but I recognize it with Assumption.
Mm-hmm. There was such a focus.
They're coming out, ready to take on the world. You know,
100%. That's so true.
Yeah.
That's so true. But I do feel like, especially just the girls that they like went to both Kiva and Assumption, if you look at just how we all move and think, you know, it's like we really don't doubt ourselves that much. You know, it's like we are very sure. And then being like, if we're not sure, then we at least are going to try. And I feel like that, yes, came from Kiva. But then I feel like for Assumption, you know, like it was so preachuous that we are capable of greatness, that you know exactly,
yeah,
that, you know, to use our bullies to do what we love, to not do, you know, anything else that someone would, you know, say that we can't do. And I feel like just to continue just to be able to prove people wrong. And it's honestly so true, because I feel like especially at that age, it's such a developmental stage for us, and I feel like it really can make or break just your confidence. Because I feel like if you're able to start to master that confidence and that, like, and that type of self-assurance at that age and at that state, I feel like once you get out of college and, like, once you're 22, 23, 24, I mean, like, hell, even like 30, 31, 32, I feel like that's whenever we take all of those lessons and things that we've learned through Kiva and Assumption, and we can now just take off with it. Rather than having to learn all of that at that time now, you know? And I feel like it was just, it played such a huge role into, I think, so many of the strong women who came from Kiva and Assumption now, you know? Because I feel like you see so many similar values and just similar traits in people, you know? Like if you look at Katie, Allie, Anna, myself, Alexa, Mayor, you know, like there's so many amazing, great people. And yes, it's like we're all doing and chasing different things, but our drive and our competitiveness and our determination and our, I think especially our self-discipline, I think really stem from all the same place, which is so cool to see.
Right. No, I agree.
Love that. You've coached thousands of players. Do you remember the first moments whenever you realized you were making an impact beyond just volleyball? Like, when did it become bigger than just the sport for you, if that makes sense?
There was a, a young lady, her name was Andrea, I'm sorry, she'll kill me, Andrea Armento, and I was kidding her, she was Andrea because she was a sick girl. But just kidding.
But anyway,
her name today is Andrea Stallman. She's a news director at WLKY. But she did an essay to get into Notre Dame, mm-hmm. University of Notre Dame. And I still have it somewhere on the desk somewhere. But and she laid it out about what Kiva had done for her in terms of friendships, relationships, mm-hmm. All the things we've been talking about here, and submitted it. And obviously, she did go to school there,
right?
And played a little there as well, and got to play volleyball there. But my point is, I think at that point in time, I started to see, and this was way back. Andre was on the first KJBA team I had in eighth grade.
She was an OG.
Yes. And so that's what made me, you know, these things are climbing out of the sport and out into their lives, mm-hmm. and they maybe going to make a difference. So that's when I guess was the first realization
that it's going to happen.
Yeah, we're just not here to play ball.
Yeah, we're not just here to play volleyball in the championships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't worry, we're still here to do that too. But yeah. Always.
Right.
All right, Ron, last question for you. But after all of these years, what keeps you waking up every single day still passionate about this sport of volleyball?
Boy, gosh, I wish I knew the answer to that. when I went to Assumption, the first year, principal at that time, his name was Karen Russ. And we had a pretty good first year. We won the state tournament, lost the finals, and, you know, the whole thing. And we'd upset Mercy, who really was the best team in the state, without question. And she said, how long do you think you'll do this? And I said, well, no. I said, let's go a year at a time. And as long as I'm still looking forward for July 15th, which is a tryout.
Mm-hmm.
Looking forward to that to roll around. Then I'll know. And that was 37 years, give or take a year ago. And I can tell you today that I'm looking forward for July 15th to roll around and do it again. So. What keeps it burning? I don't know, other than just the strength of that passion we talked about, our addiction, and so I'll probably continue to do it as long as I can do it, and as long as I feel that I can make an impact doing it. Hopefully I'm smart enough to understand if that when that time is not right or not there anymore, that, you know, I'll get aside. I've always envisioned myself becoming an assistant coach at Assumption under Ann or Melissa or somebody that comes through those ranks. And because whenever you've been had a role in building something, you really do care and want it
passed on,
continue on, you know, and people feel the same way about it as you do. I feel that way at Kiva today because Ann and Courtney are there. They're so diligent, and you know, and Melissa's and Bob. This one over here is Bob. So I mean, having those people around, that makes me feel good that it's in good hands in the future. You know?
I love that. Definitely think that Kiva and Assumption is in great hands, but I think that it's in great hands because you know, were able to mentor and kind of, you know, just embody what you want Kiva to be, you know? And I think by you embodying that, it kind of transferred over, and now they are doing the same thing and they're on way to, which is so cool to see.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, Ron, Thank you so much. You're incredible, seriously.
It really was my pleasure.
Oh,
it's great.
You're awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I know that the people enjoyed it. You guys, let's all give a round of applause for the man, the myth, the legend, Ron Portis. You are absolutely incredible. I am amazed at everything that you have done, and I cannot wait to see what continues on in the future. But seriously, thank you so much for being a part of Simply You. I absolutely enjoyed it, and I just absolutely love you, seriously.
And I'm proud of you for doing this. So it's great.
Thanks. Following that passion.
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows where it's going to go? Yeah. One year at a time, right?
That's right.
One year at a time. Thank you guys so much for tuning in this Sunday. It truly means the world, and I hope you all enjoy just getting to hear a little bit more about Ron's story. It's truly awesome. Just thank you all so much. Have a phenomenal Sunday, and I will see you all next week. Make sure to like and subscribe on Spotify and YouTube, and go follow all the channels. And I'll see you all next week here on Simply You. Be here, be real, be you with Carla Basham. Thanks, guys.